welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Let me just pray before I get started. Lord, I just want to thank you that you're so good to us, Lord. Jesus, tonight, I just declare that you are the kindest person I know. You are so kind, Lord. And you come into our lives. And the moment you step into it and we give it over, Lord, your kindness just starts to show, Lord, in different areas as you put the puzzles together. Thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. And your way is always better, Lord. And I just want to repent, and we just want to repent at the start, because sometimes, Lord, we really think that your ways are not the best. And then as we look back, Lord, we're just so grateful, Lord, that you are always right, and that you prepare everything, Lord, so that it will fit together, Lord, for my purpose and for your glory. Lord, be with us tonight, speak with us, and we just give this service to you. May in everything we think or do tonight, may Jesus be glorified. Lord, tonight is not about relationships firstly. It's firstly about you, Lord. Come and teach us and be so close to us tonight as you work with our hearts, Lord, and bend it in the right direction. Amen. So last year, I was on campus and I did a session in Relationship Week. Who was there last year? Okay, a lot of you. Is this the end or the start of Relationship Week? Is this the start? It's complicated. Okay. Okay, so every year in Secunda, we do a relationship series. We call it Rock Solid Love. We keep our theme the same, and then different years we'll have different topics on the table. It's a bit odd talking about a topic like that, love, sex, and trust, because it's strange to hear it from the pulpit, isn't that true? But like we ask ourselves in Secunda, where are we going to learn how to do these things right? On the mine? No. There, like on the Sasol plant? No. At Infernos, which is our local dance kind of night place now, they'll offer some advice. Don't you worry. But for me, it's also difficult because let me just tell you, I am not a love guru, all right? I am not, talk to me, I've got everything sorted out. Just bring your problems. I say a prayer and I give advice and you're set for life. That's not me. But you know what? I'm not scared talking about it because it's changed my life, meeting God. I was thinking when I was worshiping here, I think most of you are students, am I right? Not all of you, but substantial amount. I made certain decisions when I was still a student, and because of that today, my marriage is so blessed. It's 10 years back now, and you know, sometimes I think back, I said, Lord, it was so easy for me, or I took the wrong road. Thank you for helping me. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Even when the heat is on and you have to make difficult decisions when it comes to everything. Tonight we're talking about relationships, but I'm talking about everything. Choose Jesus above everything else. If in doubt, go speak to Philip, Andre, whoever you can get, your small group leader. But don't go cold on Jesus. Because I'm telling you, following Jesus flat out in university, it's paying dividends in my life now. 10 years later, I'm just reaping. And so I'm asking myself already, am I sowing now for the 10 years after this? Because I'm telling you, this is where you guys are at. It's a precious time. Never stop sowing. Amen? Now, let me just say this. I know you know this, but let me just say this from the start. Marriage, sex, relationships, it's not everything, all right? But it's our topic for tonight. So for tonight, I'm going to say the word sex a lot. Okay? Can you get used to that without like getting red in the face? Okay? Just say to the person next to you, sex is not a swear word. Sex is nie 'n vloekwoord nie. Okay? If you're sitting to next to someone you've never met before, good luck. It's not my problem. I also want to go further and say this. Everyone will not get married. All right? Now some people are stressed out. Okay, just relax. Just relax about it. Some people, it's been given the grace to them. They don't need to get married. All right? Even if some of those people would be here tonight, you can still learn from this. I'm talking about the heart here. Talking about relationships. We're talking about aligning yourself to God in such a way that fruit can come in one area. Some of these things you can apply to other areas in your life as well. The only difference is you're going to hear the word sex a lot. And I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to be honest. Is that okay? Is it okay with Midyala? Okay. Don't let it get too awkward in this place. All right. Now, let me just say this also. What I'm going to do is last time when we had the session back at the university, I had a lot of points and I went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And tonight's a bit different. I'm gonna have more like a conversation with you guys. And some of the things I'm gonna cover more than once from a different angle. I'm putting a conversation on the table, and what I want you to do is to discuss it with if you've got an accountability partner, small group leader, someone that's walking a road with you. Put these things on the table. One thing I love about coming to preach at another church is I can make a lot of trouble, and then you can go and ask Philip all the answers, okay? So he's got an open door, by the way. So if I raise some questions, just walk through his open door and spend some time with him, okay? How's that? Oh, he's got to get me back for this. Any case, please don't feel condemned tonight as I paint a picture of what is seemingly a perfect relationship. Or if I give examples of ways in which marriage really works, know that I don't get it right always as well, okay? Some of you will probably be better at this than me. I'm just not scared to speak about it, okay? That's the only difference. Another thing is, who's married here? Okay, more than half is single or not married. Please interpolate for yourself. I use an example of ways to behave, then I show what it looks like in marriage. Don't say I'm not married. Think for yourself. Think ahead, all right? Draw the line to where you're at. You guys are all smart. Okay, is that okay? So I'm not going to think too much. If I say the word marriage, ask yourself in the position. Paint yourself into that picture and ask that the Holy Spirit help you with wisdom. And then last thing I want to say before we get on the way is, don't build a wall tonight, all right? Don't try and ask yourself or tell yourself, I'm going to see how much of these things I've done right, but I don't really want to go to my mistakes. You know, often we're so used to defending ourselves to friends and people that sometimes when God wants to work, then we tell ourselves we're actually okay in this area and then we could still grow there. The reason I grew a lot is in university. I was single first year, second year, third year. And every single relationship week topic, I was in front. I just wanted to make sure that I get everything out of my heart so that God can bless me. So if in doubt, don't take a defensive, I'm okay there. Rather go for prayer. Rather phone your accountability partner afterwards and say, listen, I'm not sure about this. Please pray with me. I want to make sure that my heart is ready. I want to make sure that I'm prepared for marriage. If you are married, we must keep on learning. I mean, we've got a commitment in our church that when we do marriage prep, which happens for us at this stage only once a year. I don't know. You guys, Andre, twice a year? Three? Whoa. You're thrown, eh? Okay. Okay, but our standing commitment is the marriage. Every married couple in our church does marriage prep with the rest. We call it enrichment for us. Never stop learning. Never ever. Okay. Let's go on. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. All right. This scripture was not written for Relationship Week. But this is true. If there's one thing God is really good at, it's looking at someone's life, looking into someone's heart, and seeing potential, even while we're still estranged from Him. Even at a place where we don't love Him, we don't have a relationship with Him, He can look into my heart and see what I can be. And firstly, let's just take it for your heart overall. Jesus Christ has got a plan for your life. Know that. And that includes your marriage or your future marriage. Okay? And what I want to say to you straight is He wants you to have a great marriage. He wants the intimate times in your home to be blessed. He wants you to have great times of laughter. He wants to bless you. Know that. And tonight, if you take the different things you can put on the table for Relationship Week, I'm going to focus a bit more on sex, on intimacy. How does God see that and how does it work? And people will always say, "Vooral in ons land, onthou net nê, sex is die alles nie." And it's true, okay? It's not everything, but let me tell you what it's important. It's important. It's important you understand what we're going through tonight. If you're single, and if you're married, all right, both that. So let's discover how this works, how God sees it, and when can God really bless it, right? I'm first just gonna humble myself by telling a story that I always tell people first before my wife maybe gets a chance to tell it, because she loves to put me in a very bad light. So let me just tell it before you hear it from someone else, okay? It's one of those stories where if we've got people and the dishes need to be washed, then she'll say, "Love, jy gaan seker nou die skottel goed was." Of ons vertel haar story. And I'm like, no problem. And so she gets away. So I'm just telling the whole world about this story. And within maybe 5 years, she won't be able to manipulate. I must just not still go to the conference and tell them Bosch and just broadcast it to everyone. So when I was 12 years old, we went on a camp, all right. And it was at that stage, I don't know, kids develop, and I don't know what kids in this day and age at 12, what is normal for them. But for us at that stage, relationship is writing a little bit of a letter. Dankie dat jy my maatjie is. Pluk 'n hartjie op. Then you ask your friend, "Will you just deliver this, you know, letter to whoever?" And so now we're on the bus to a camp. And a lot of us, you know, you're 12 years old, you're starting to grow up, starting to notice your body. You see there's different types of movies in the movies. You start to realize those kind of things. And so we said, now, I think this is a chance for us to try and kiss a girl on this camp. Right? And what we meant by that is, almost a bit of tongue wees. It's not okay. Okay, so now negotiations is on the way. Okay, now we're in the bus, and there's a few of us. We've got pen pals now. The invitation is now going out. Is this on the cards now for the girls as well? Because us guys, we know. Okay, this is it. Now this is life or death. So the girl, my pen pal or whatever. She says she's not interested in this little thing we're planning, all right? But then now in the conversations that's going around on the bus, there's this other girl, she says, "No, she'll be interested in, you know, what we're planning," okay? And so now in the bus, I've got a problem because I now must drop this one girl that's not interested in a vrei achter die gebou, all right? And then I must now, you know, hook up with this other girl. And so it worked like that. Now, we're terrible, eh? It's terrible. It's just very humiliating. So now we're behind the building. It's my friend and his, I don't know, Macy and me and this other girl. And so this happens. There's a suit. Okay. We go back to our rooms and we're like, yes, this is awesome. We've got this thing figured out. Now the problem is the next morning, we're in the breakfast canteen area, and this girl that I kissed has a declaration to make. Okay. And it goes like this. Ek wil nooit weer 'n man soen nie. So I didn't have a good start, all right? So if you're a bit like me, just hang on. We'll get there tonight. Let's read together. Revelation 21 verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. We're going somewhere, don't worry. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Of course, the bride is us, the church, and the husband is Jesus. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be as their God, with them as their God. And this is important. This is how Jesus now cares for his bride. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Now, this is just like the last bit of our introduction. I want you to understand how God feels about us. Okay? That is very important for where we're going, especially when we take a topic like intimacy or sex. Jesus Christ is the ultimate husband, all right? And the one he loves is the church. And the way he moves about to engage with his bride is by dying for her, all right? It's about giving forgiveness when we are not interested at it, already giving grace to us, giving love, and even dying. And so if we stop this sermon right here, and you want to make a success in your future relationships, just know this. If you read the Gospels, you can ask almost every time when you see how Jesus deals with people, Lord, help me to teach my wife that way. And you will do well. All right? And it is in that type of relationship, of servanthood, where sex finds a place, where it is absolutely fulfilling. Absolutely great to share with someone, and that you will never walk out of that relationship for another, because what you've experienced there is blessed by God. Make sense? Very important. Jesus looks down at my marriage, your marriage, and even if you're not married yet, because he sees your future, he associates so closely with that marriage bond. He feels it. He says it. He feels the hurt. He feels the joys of marriage because he's been through it with us, the church. And he's still preparing us, still loving us. So God is committed. He's committed to marriage like you won't believe. He loves marriage, I believe. Just want to put this up here, that marriage reflects the relationship between Jesus and the church. And just remember that and know that. And now it's easy for us to move from this and put a topic like sex on the table. You know what happens within a husband's heart? If you understand this, let me tell you, ladies, why you want to marry a godly man, all right? Listen, I throw the men under the bus because I'm a man. My wife always tells me, you know what? Women also look at pornography sometimes. I'm like, that's okay. That's their story. Guys, we'll be the bad guys, okay? Is that okay? But let me tell you what, ladies, why you want to marry a godly man. If a man worships Jesus Christ, okay, there is something that happens in his heart when he spends time with God. In the morning, or whenever he spends time with God, he's got his Bible open, or he's praying, and this prayer should come across anyone's lips that serves the Lord at least once a week. Lord, why did you save me? Agree with me? Why did you save me? I know my thoughts that I have towards people, and they're not to prosper them. I know my heart. Okay? But you save me. You give me chance. You give me these good friends. You look after me. We've got something on the table to eat. Why are you so good? And then God's answer is always, grace. I give you stuff you don't deserve because I love you. I die for you because, you know what, just because I love you, you don't deserve it, but I love you. And I'm like, yes, Lord. And as I'm wrestling with this thing, the Holy Spirit inevitably say, now do the same to others. Who's the closest to you? Wife. So you start at home. Can I be that husband? Can I be that man that gives at times when I feel she doesn't deserve it, whether I'm right or wrong? And the man that's got his knee bent before God will give to his wife, keep the love going, and then she will see that and she will respond back. Right? That's why you want to marry a godly man, just in short. A man that loves the Lord. And that's why ladies also, if you're married, encourage your man to go on missions. Let him go. It's good for him. Because every time his relationship with Jesus Christ is lit on fire, guess who's going to benefit? You. Let him go to the prayer meetings, if possible. If you have to, you know, Vasi Baba Alian, let him go. Because you know what? He's going to look into the face of Jesus. Jesus is going to tell him, love your wife. Love her. Wash her like I'm washing you right now. All right? And I don't want to go ahead of myself, but if you're talking about something where trust is required, like sex, now that's the man you want. Amen? Yen, amen, girls? Awesome. But they is excited. Now, let me just explain this before we take it from different angles. I want to make a bold statement, and I want to say this. Marriage is designed for Christians. God designed marriage, sex, intimacy, and relationship for His people first. All right? Now, who of you have done Encounter One? A lot of you. And you remember that little picture of the circle. You are firstly a spirit, right? You have a body and you have a soul, right? Now, primarily, you are a spirit. Are you with me? Just a bit of basics here. Because that's the part of you that will live forever. All right? If you doubt, just wait a few years. And you'll realize, don't worry. The thing's not going to make it. Okay? The body to heaven. It's going to tap out at some time. Just relax. It's about your spirit. We don't discredit the body because it's important. Your body is used to glorify God. When you get married and you love your wife, but more importantly, you love the Lord, and your spirit, right, has community with God, is filled by God, and both of you know the Holy Spirit, something happens in the marriage bed because of that spirit's activation that doesn't happen when it's not there. Okay, I'm telling you now, sex in the home where the husband and the wife are madly in love with Jesus is better than when that is not the case. Check the divorce rates. All right. But why? I'm sure I don't have grips on all of this, and maybe if I'm invited next year, I'll understand it a bit better. But let me tell you what, your spirit is your primary part of your life. If it's taken out of the equation of everything, all that you are is a body, a soul with depression. If you think about it. The end of your depression was the day when you came to Jesus, ultimately. Okay? Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to and throw the whole evening with this. The reason why people that does not know Jesus can never be sexually fulfilled is because the spirit is not part of it. And so for them, in their search of fulfillment, once they've tried everything in the relationship, what do? They move on from the relationship. We don't work well together. We're not good for one another. I must move on. All right? The problem was never with your partner. The problem is with you. You don't know the Lord. Okay? Very important that we have that. And so when Jesus brings two people together with sex in the marriage, there's a few things he says. He says, this thing is only for the two of us. It's only for us. All right? You and me, this is something exclusive to us. All right? It's a total private setting. All right? That's very important. Total trust. And you know what? God wants us to enjoy it. And I want to just show you quickly, I've got a slide there, with more or less what the enemy wants to do with this thing. When it comes to privacy, this is just a few things, just to show you. Whatever God does, the enemy has got another plan for it. Counterfeit plan, all right? Sex is not a bad thing, but why is the swear word? Because it gets so much abused, am I right? It was never intended to be like a weird thing. It was intended for a husband and a wife to love one another. It is a beautiful thing. The Bible says the marriage bed is to be honored. It's a good thing in God's eyes, all right? And so when the husband and a wife comes together, and that's once again why you want a godly husband, and the other way around, is you've got a place of trust there. You know what? When you go on honeymoon, as a pure woman or man, it's a stressful situation. Listen to me. I'm telling you. This is a big, okay? If there's one thing you need in that relationship, it's trust. I will cover you. I will build a wall of trust. What happens here, this is ours. What the enemy loves to do is to make public what's supposed to be private. All right? And what that means is we find ourselves in a place today where we see sex on public platforms. All right? We see it everywhere. I'm sure. I mean, just draw a 1 kilometer line and you'll find stuff maybe on billboards, or you'll find places. And the moment when sex breaks out of the boundaries of trust, you got trouble. You got problems. And there's hurt. And then that cycle starts again. This thing does not work. I think I must move on. And so you find another partner. Maybe there's trust there, but you move on. The next thing is exclusivity. This thing is only for us. Right? That's what God says. This is for us. This is something special, where we bring our faith and our love and our bodies together, and no one else is welcome in this space. And once again, what the enemy does, it puts it on public platform. And even believers can be deceived. We're married, so now we put on a DVD, right, with sex on it, because now we can learn stuff from it. It's the moment intimacy gets placed on a public platform, it's bad. Bad news. It is meant for the privacy of your home. All right? Doesn't mean you can never talk about it with people you trust and say, listen, we've got a problem in this area, and can you guys help us? We're at the end of our road. I'm not saying that's not permitted. I'm just saying when a man and a woman comes together, it's not meant for the television. It's not meant for any other man or woman to look at. Do you agree with me? Breaks the marriage. So the enemy, if he can steal trust and exclusivity, he's halfway, okay, to making big problems in our homes. So for us who are married, we need to keep our homes clean. It starts with a movie with they don't show the scene, but you know it's happening, and we get used to that, and then later, we need to keep our houses clean. All right? Let's commit to doing that. And for us, that's single. the. Okay? Keep your eyes away. Okay, we'll get to why a bit later. So the only thing Hollywood can give us, okay, by the promoting of sex on a public platform is in a way connecting your body with it. Okay? You can feel aroused by it. You can have a sexual experience, let's be honest about it, but you can never engage that part of your spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in the marriage bed with your wife. And so, if this thing gets you, it creates a thirst because you cannot quench it, you see. So you need to watch again, you need to get another movie, to watch another clip, and it escalates, because the thirst can never, ever be quenched. That's the plan of the enemy. And it's interesting, the people that will, and referring to the world, that will have the most to do with sex and watching it, they're the most frustrated about it because they cannot get the real thing. And those who wait for it in the right way, aim themselves to marry, wait for the girl, which seems boring, suddenly these guys are so satisfied. And then we see how God works. Does this make sense? The man will never get satisfaction with this. And you know what? The lady will never feel like a lady when the enemy has got his cycle going. Always feel dirty. There's always shame. Am I worth anything? Am I pretty? Why am I feeling like this? Maybe I must change my hair. Maybe I must buy this. It puts us on a hunt. And actually, all we're looking for is Jesus. Jesus, just show us which way to go. Because we are clueless. Putting this topic on the table, right? Just bear with me. We're brainstorming through it. Just get the control of my computer. So I just got something up there. Very basic. Sex is an amazing gift to married couples in Christ. Or sex can be the very thing that breaks your life into pieces. It can bind, it can restore, it can edify, it can give a place of trust, or it can be destructive. Okay? This is very interesting. We're just going on the topic. There was a man in the Bible, his name is Amnon. Who knows Amnon? David's son. He had many wives, and Amnon was a son from his one wife, and he had a daughter from another wife. Her name was Tamar. Who knows the story? All right. So the Bible says Amnon was sick as he was in love with Tamar, his half-sister. And so he was a schemer. And what he did is he organized for his sister to literally be ambushed in his room. So he said, hey everyone, I'm sick. I'm in the bed. Someone needs to bring me medicine, but it must be Tamar. That's the story. True story. Go read it for yourself. And so she comes into the room, he grabs her, and she says, brother, don't do this. Let's go, and let's go to our dad. Let's get married. Let's do this right. He is on the hormone wagon. There's no stopping him. I don't know what he does, but he does it. Drags her into the bed or whatever. And this is the very next verse after this happened. This man was sick in love. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred. So that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he loved her. And Amnon said to her, get up and go. Can we just go back to that slide, Elton, with the what do you call it? Yeah. Table. He thought he was going to get this satisfaction, joy, and love because he was sick, and he got this frustrated, shame, and dirty. Go out of my room. I never want to see you again. And you know what? When I read this story every time, I'm like, man, that's exactly what happens today. Listen to me. It is exactly the same that happens today. Can you see it? Do you agree with me? I went out with my wife when we were in school. We didn't know the Lord, so we crossed sexual boundaries. All right? The moment I gave my heart to the Lord, I wanted to run away from her. I never actually wanted to see her again because I saw my past when I saw her. It's unfair, I must say, because maybe I was the one that was pushing the boundaries. But when I got some kind of sense, I said, in a way, go away. I want to be clean. Hey, I want to be clean. I found the Lord now. I want to do this right. You must go. All right? In a sense, it's what happened. Long story short, 4 years apart, God cleansed ourselves, got together, got married. Yay. Okay. I just keep on losing my wedding ring, so please excuse me for that. But this example of Amnon, let me tell you what, for us guys and girls, trust God in this. The amazing gift that sex is, the amazing weapon it is once the enemy got us, has us there. All right? Okay, let's go on because I see there's another service coming up. Or we must just let them join in and carry on. Song of Solomon. Now, this is an interesting book. If you've got an Afrikaans Bible, all right, I dare you to read it, okay? Jou borste is soos dorings. Now, tell me, is that a compliment? Okay? Because you can try it if you're married. You might get like a plate to the face or a kiss. I don't know. But apparently a tower was a beautiful thing in those days, and so if you would like, I don't know. Okay. But there's some wisdom here. Swear to me, young women of Jerusalem, that you won't awaken or arouse love before its proper time. I want to go a bit faster because I think already if you go home, there's something you can think about. You are standing at a tap, okay? This is the sexual stimulation tap of your own life, and you can turn that thing or you can close it. True story. It's exactly the opposite of what the world tells us. Hey, I can't help, I don't love you anymore. The other day I stepped on the street and this woman came from the front. I fell in love. It's not my fault I fell in love. I didn't choose to fall in love. Bull. You chose to fall in love. You're in charge of the tap, and that's what the Bible is telling us. You can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, listen, you're not doing this apart from God. You're doing this through God in obedience. As a single student, you can determine how quickly you develop your need for sexual engagement. To say it straight. And especially guys. Mark 2. Okay? Let it build up for the right time, all right? This is how this works. You will desire more and more of what you eat. Okay? What you consume, you want to have more of. Amen? And so, even as a first in university, we, and Philip was on that campus as well, and we knew it. And we need to feel our thirst for God, and especially at this time. Listen, what is more hormonal than an 18 to 23-year-old man? All right? Nothing. Okay? So something needs to happen. I need to put my hand on the tap, and then I need to go for missions. I need to go for God. I need to go for church. I need to live flat out because I can't sit around. Okay? But I need to take control. So we used to say, listen, we had accountability partners in university. And then there was this girl, oh, I think I'm in love. Let's pray about it. Yeah, but God is not leading me there now. Now, take authority. Lord, I give you my life. You're giving me this desire. I know this is not from you right now. I take control of it. And I leave it in your hands. Yes, Lord, I can't wait to go on missions. And then you must go, go, go. Okay? In short, you can awaken a need for sexual desire in your life, or you can keep it in the hands of God. Do you agree with me with that? Okay. Let me give you a few examples of how this works. So what does the Bible say about love? We've got interesting things about love on the internet and nice little stuff. Love is what? Hey, there's the first one. Love is patient. Okay, so you can handle it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not seek its own. But I've got a need to be satisfied, but love does not seek its own. So if it's not love, what is it? Something else. All right? Now, I'll go ahead of myself to finish up. Ladies, if you see a man that gets this thing down, that is focusing on the Lord, maybe you're going out with him, he's handling you like a princess, you know he's got the hots for you, all right, but you can see he's focusing and looking for God in the situation. If he can do it when he's not married, he'll do it when he's married. You will never, ever have to worry that he will come home and say, I've met someone at work. Because if he can champion it when he's single, he'll do it when he's married. And let me tell you what, sexual temptation doesn't stop the moment you get married. Okay? It's different, but it's still there. If you can champion it now, you will champion it the rest of your life. If you get this victory, do well. And the same for you, ladies. The same for you. Make sense? That's real love. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, lust is not love. Lust is something that is disguised as love, but it's not the same. So what lust will do is it will get you into a situation sexually that you should not be, but often you'll have a good explanation. So in my town where we minister and we need to do a lot of work, you'll hear this. At least we don't sleep around. All right? We're not married, but we don't sleep around. Can you see the difference? We love one another. Okay, that's how lust starts. Okay? Yes, we do these things wrong, but they do it more, okay? And that's how it starts. That's how lust comes in. And what we want to do is we want to come before God and say, Lord, show me an excellent way. Show me an excellent way. And so we think, if I get married, I will stop. Okay? I won't have these massive drives. But you know what? You get married and you bring things into your marriage bed. No. Not good. Because she is thinking it's going to be a place of trust. But now you are making it a very, very difficult place for her to be. She starts to tippy-toe around the marriage bed because she can't trust you. The same can be the other way around. Can you see that? That's on the guy's side. I'm just skipping a lot of stuff here. Sorry. Just give me a... And you know what happens there? Once those things come into the marriage bed, pornography, movies, you should never see other people have sex. I'm talking straight, never. It put pressure on your relationship. Because now you see something on the TV and your wife that freaks her out. So it becomes a place of power, the marriage bed. Either the husband is dominating over his wife. She's not enjoying it. He thinks she's having a great time. No, it sucks for her. Or she starts to use it as a manipulation tool. If you do this for me, then we may have sex. That's what happens when we bring the world into a godly marriage. Can you see that? That's very important to understand. And so that's why you want to start to train yourself to be excellent. Even now. Even when you're single. Even if there's someone here that's in school. Goodness, I hope not. But yeah. You can start now. I prepared myself for marriage the day I received Jesus as my Lord because I had to reprogram my whole brain. The day I got married, it was plain sailing, man. I'm telling you now, because I worked on these things long before marriage, marriage prep didn't help me a lot because I did it all the years before. Please do marriage prep because I'm going to get in trouble there at the back. But you hear what I'm saying. Last thing. Let me just choose something here. Okay. This is detailed, but let's do it. Because I'm trying to win your heart over to follow God in excellence with this. A man works differently than a woman, all right? And all the ladies are like, hey, man, you preach it, they were different, and stuff like that. It's different, it's different. For a man, you know, your wife looks at you, that's it, it's enough. Okay? We're ready for intimate times, okay? It's different. It's different for a woman. Maybe it can work like that every now and then for a woman, but she wants to feel loved. She wants to feel loved the whole week, the whole month, okay? Blommikies, chocolikies, SMSs, briefikies, okay? Now let me tell you what, if you are caught up in lust, the main thing of it is the opposite of being patient, kind, and not self-seeking. It's you get it now when you want it, and if you don't get it with your wife, you get it at the computer. Is you totally lose the ability to arouse your wife intimately. Because when you want it, you take it. And so you're not used to loving to a place where the marriage bed is beautiful. And it's gone. She doesn't enjoy it anymore. She feels like you only look at her when you need her. And it can also work the other way around. Because in essence, love is giving. If I can get you thinking tonight that God is so smart, that He's designed this whole thing of don't awaken love before it's time, of keeping ourselves in our singleness pure before God. You know, the day my wife and I overstepped sexual boundaries, let me say this, God heals. I promise you that. When my wife came down the aisle, I cried. And let me be frank, I said it to Sukuna as well. I didn't know what was going on under that dress. God had healed me so completely. I was scared of my wedding night. I didn't know if I can do it. I didn't know if it was what my sin is. Okay? Because God healed me. So let me tell you what, doesn't matter where you are, He will heal you. If you're at a place where you're walking with God, it's not worth it to go and experiment on places where you're just going to hurt yourself and your future spouse. If you're single, God's got someone for you. You must act as a married person. Okay? Make sense? And then last slide of the evening. Let's go to... Now let's go to James 5, verse 16, please. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. If we are married, let's pray for our marriage, for our spouse. Let's pray over our marriage bed. Let's give it back to God. We can grow even if we have a good marriage. Amen? If we are single, get someone of the same sex, please, and share with them. Pray together. Break bread. Say, Lord, this area of my life, I give it to you. I'm going to have a great marriage, even if I'm single for the next 4 years or 10 years. Every day I'm going to sow a seed into my marriage by being pure while I'm single. Make sense? Let's stand up tonight. Let's stand up. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that tonight we could take a topic like this and seek your glory in it. And Lord, we just want to say, Lord, marriage and relationships and intimacy, it is from you. But it's not our God. You are our God, Lord. And Lord, and I pray that as we seek you and as we love you and as we shape our lives around understanding you better and making decisions and turning from old ways, that all and every area of our life, of our lives will change, this area included. I want to pray for two groups of people tonight, and I just want to ask you to close your eyes and just pray with me if you are a believer. If what I said tonight was nice or weird, but you don't really connect with me because you haven't really given your heart to Jesus, then I want to tell you that He loves you so, so, so much. And He is the kindest person I know. Every time I hurt Him, He forgives. Every time I make a mistake, He lifts me up. Jesus has never let go of my hand. If He was a human, He would have left me a long time ago. He is so kind. And I want to tell you, He's inviting you tonight to follow Him, to take His hand. But it's a decision that you have to make. It is not a decision anyone can make for you. Not your mom, not your pastor, not your roommate, not your best friend. So I want to invite you, I want to tell you, He is waiting and inviting. But you must decide. Do I want to follow Him? Do I want to give every area of my life to Him? I want to tell you, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. And so while every eye is closed, I want to ask you, if you want to draw a line tonight and say, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I messed up, but I want to start over. I want to ask you to put your hand up very high and don't be shy. Thank you for those hands. Put it very high. Thank you for those hands. Keep them up. Just hold them up. I want to give more people opportunity. Maybe you feel shy. Maybe you feel, He can't forgive me because you don't know what I've done. Let me tell you what. He will forgive you no matter what. He's calling you and He's drawing you. So I want to ask one more time, is there anyone else that wants to make a commitment for Jesus? You can put your hand up very high now. Very high. While every eye is closed, can I just ask you, if your hand is up, just come to the middle of the room. Just come to the aisle. Please lower your hand and just come and stand in the aisle. And the facilitator will meet you there. Thank you for those hands. Let's give them a clap.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.